are you doing, Rob?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you guys?
Doing well, thank you.
Well.
Good, good. I just had a wonderful phone call from a friend of mine I hadn't talked to in a couple of years, and you know, I just saw him on LinkedIn. He posted something, so I said, you know, call when you get a chance. He called, and his name is Jim Lehrer. He's the guy that I had you guys read his book.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
And isn't that funny that it's today that, you know, read the Powerful Engagement. There it is. Anyway, he's 74 now, and what a wonderful guy. But he said, you know, Rob, you don't realize, you know, the impact that you can make on people's lives. And I know I used to take like 40 guys down to see him every year, and we put him through his Performance Institute training program, and guys and gals. And and I always thought it was wonderful because in many cases, guys, people don't know that they have certain issues, you know, heart issues, et cetera. And sometimes, and it included a physical, so sometimes they'd find things that they didn't know they had. And people would really appreciate the fact that I had taken them down there. But he said, did you remember the time when I called you and said, the bank has called our loan, and it's 2008, and we're going to lose our building.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
And I said, oh, no problem. Let me check on that. And I got him a $1 million loan and saved his business, and he's always, always appreciated that. You know, he sold out to Johnson & Johnson years later, and he said they're now building in Orlando a huge Human Performance Institute building, and they've put 250,000 people through that program. So, you know, you never know in this game which, you know, lives you're going to touch and what things you can do in the business to help others. It's just wonderful. So, with that in mind, I'm in a great mood.
Yeah, we are doing great too. A little overwhelmed, so it's very timely that we're listening to the Powerful Engagement. Given that you know you don't just discuss the business, you discuss all the personal stuff too. Just the back to school, we've had back to school nights with our kids. You know, till 7. I mean, every night it's been something. And
yeah.
It almost feels like, you know, we're spread pretty thin, and then also the supernova. So we're just a little overwhelmed, but, you know, trying to make sure that we stay on top of everything. But I'm almost done listening to the Powerful Engagement, and I sent Rick a text this morning that it's something that we really need to implement, I would say, fully in our lives. It really makes sense. It's like putting the big rocks in first, you know, and taking care of what really matters, and everything else falls into place, and you're able to fit everything else in once you know, put the, you know, that analogy where you put the big rocks first in a jar.
Absolutely, yeah, I love that one. Yeah, and so, you know, juggling the balls, and certain balls are made of glass, and certain balls aren't. I love that one too.
Yeah.
And you just can't afford to drop certain balls, because if you drop them, then they break and you can't put them back together.
And that's together, right?
That's your family and your health. Those
yeah.
are the two.
We need to fine tune our schedules and our life and where we are. Like Rick's been going to bed at 1:30, 2 in the morning every day. Probably not. I'm grateful that I'm telling you this, but. He's had to do public runs at 10 o'clock at night and, you know, homework. And so it's this week is just getting back into the routine and trying to find where we're going to fit everything in. You know, it's kind of eye-opening, but we'll get it done.
Yeah, it's, look, life, you know, you get everything organized, and then guess what? Life shows up. So even even after you get everything where you think it's perfect, life's still going to always show up.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, you just do the best you can. I mean, you build a good business plan, and life shows up. And you do this, and life shows up. But that doesn't mean that you don't try and control everything that you can.
Right.
Without being a quote a control freak, you just know that there's certain things that you're never going to be able to control. So you just do the best you can every day. So you come up with a business plan and you implement it and you execute it. But keeping in mind the glass balls that you can't drop the health and you can't drop the family. So everything else can, you know. We're going to work around. We're going to figure it out. And that's why Supernova, which is purpose, is to bring balance back to your lives and improve the client experience and eventually, hopefully grow the practice, is such a timely thing for a couple like you. It's so important.
Absolutely. And everything that, you know, so far that we've learned just makes so much sense. And I mean, I really think it will help us grow our business, and it will also help us get organized all around.
Right. So the big concepts that you should be getting out of the power of full engagement are two. One of them is that you're only given a limited amount of discipline. People say, if I only had more discipline. Everybody is given the same amount of discipline. The question is, what do you do with that discipline? And then how do you turn discipline into rituals? Because it doesn't take any discipline to get up in the morning and brush your teeth. That's a ritual. It takes no work, no discipline. But to try and get a three-year-old to brush their teeth,
I was about to say that. I didn't want to interrupt you, but it takes tremendous discipline.
2.5 an 11-year-old.
Right. So I guess looking at areas in your life that you want to improve and go tackling, you know, little by little, go tackling different areas and moving that discipline.
So what we want is to build, and that's when I read his book and started to take the guys down to see him, that I put together the link between rituals that he taught in tennis and he teaches in every sport, that they translate perfectly into our business. And so every day with Supernova, you know, it just fit perfectly into Supernova, creating these rituals around the folders, around the discipline, 1242, the rapid response, the financial planning. The whole thing was all ritualized then, and schedule it as much as possible. Everything gets scheduled. Everything is ritualized so that everything happens. And that actually reduces stress. People say, how can you be that organized? I said, you'd be surprised how much that reduces stress. And, you know, one of the guys said, my son-in-law actually, or not my nephew, let's see, he would be my niece's husband. I coached him through Supernova, and I said, so what did you get out of it? He said, Rob, the most important thing I get out of it is that I can go on vacation and not feel guilty. Isn't that amazing? That was the number one thing for him. And so everybody's going to get something different out of it. So the second concept is the rituals versus discipline. And the second is blank. Why am I not? Who can come up with the second most important thing?
Managing energy.
Managing energy, correct. It's not about the amount of time that you put in. It's the amount of energy. So you can be home with your kids, but if you're not fully engaged, you might as well be at work. And that I didn't understand. I thought if I was home, that would be enough. But it wasn't. And so that means that, you know, if you're not engaged at work, go ride a bike or something, go work out, and then come back when you are engaged. You can't ever give somebody less than your very best. Mm-hmm. So the question becomes, okay, Rob, that sounds great, but when you're staying up till 1 in the morning, how the hell do you have the energy to do everything and to be fully engaged then at work? Well, the answer is you can't. I mean, you need proper amount of sleep, exercise, and diet in order to be at peak performance. So you think of it as a series of sprints ending in a marathon. You know, it's one big long marathon, but it's not, you don't run hard forever. What you do is you sprint. You have a sprint, then you walk, then you sprint, then you walk. So your recovery time is at night when you sleep. The recovery time is during the day when you take breaks. So when you pick, when you're creating your ideal day, week, month, year, you plan your vacation times, your recovery times, and you plan your recovery times, your mini vacations during the day. When am I going to step out of my brain, walk around the building, and drink some water, eat something, and recover? So I do the same thing as you guys. I'm on appointments, you know, every hour. So I, once I get off a call, I get, you know, I go out, I walk around, grab the golf club, swing the golf club, drink some water, eat something, and then I'm back at work. So you want to create that kind of rituals in between. You don't want to be just sitting at your desk all day. That'll, you know, they've proven that sitting is horrible. So now I have a standing desk. You know, I'll sit for a while, then I'll stand up and work at the desk standing, et cetera. So anyway, the difference between doing these things consistently over time is that you will increase your energy dramatically by being able to work out, eat properly, and get enough sleep. Your intensity will be greater, and people will be shocked at how much energy you have and how enthusiastic you are. And that's part of it, right? It's people are drawn to enthusiasm. They're drawn to confidence. And that's what we're trying to do, right? Create an experience for the client that's the best experience possible, and that starts with you and your attitude and your energy. So you got to figure it out. How am I going to be able to get 8 hours of sleep? I don't know, but that's what you got to do. You know, maybe you take a nap during the day. You know, take a half an hour nap. Go find a place and lay down. But I really believe that Jim is right, and after, you know, he's 74 now, I'm 71, and he's still going full bore, and so am I, and I think that's the key, is that we couldn't be doing this if we hadn't kind of taken care of ourselves all along.
You start breaking down earlier if you don't take care of yourself.
Any questions or, you know, on that and how it fits into your schedule? And talk to me a little bit about what you think you might be able to do to get more in the kind of ritualized life that you'd like.
Clone myself.
Yeah, I always wanted to do that. I always wanted two of me so I could be more creative, you know?
No, for me, I'm eating healthy, as you know, with my health, the issue back to the background. I have to eat I'm on a ketogenic diet, so I eat very, very, very healthy. I rarely cheat. Actually, I don't cheat. And the sleep, I was getting great sleep. I need more sleep than I ever did before, but I'm not working out. So I have to find something that fits into, even if it's two or three times a week, I have to add, you know, time to work out. And then I have to organize my new middle schoolers in crazy, insane homework schedule and help her get organized so that we're not doing homework or running to print something or at 10 o'clock at night and going to bed at 11 or 10. Lord knows what time to be up at 5:36.
Whoa. That's not good for kids.
No. No, today she was exhausted. She told me, Mom, I'm jittery, I'm exhausted. So I have to sit down with her and come up with a plan to help her get organized, and I think that'll help the whole family, because Rick had to sit down late at night to do homework, and he helped her with the math part. And then I think once we get that sorted out, Rick and I just need to sit down and do better planning of our schedules, both here at work and at home, and how we're going to organize everything. So like you say, everything has a day, everything is scheduled. We don't even have to think about it. So let's say an example, Thursday afternoons is grocery day, and when we have a little bit of break between clients, or I don't know, we'll Rick and I have to sit down and really fine tune it.
Yeah, and work out with your kids. I mean, there's plenty of workouts that you can do with children that are really good for both of you. So it doesn't have to be, you know, you going to the gym.
Right.
It can be.
For that half Ironman. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, it always made me sad when I was watching, you know, all the swimmers. Parents are sitting on the sideline watching all the swimmers work out. It seems like they could have a pool for both, you know. So I always like it when the children are working out, the parents are working with them, or, you know, running up and down with them and doing yoga with them. And it seems that it's something that we should be able to do together. Anyway, so, okay. So that's enough of Jim Lehrer. How is Supernova, and what progress did you make? I got your homework. I love your homework. You're my star student, and it makes such a difference for me. I'm creating this as a ritual for everybody that will buy into it. And I always sent them homework, and we always talked about the homework, but actually getting people to send it is something that's fairly recent. And I think it makes a huge difference. I'd be interested in your feedback. Do you think it makes a difference when you actually prepare it and send it to me?
I think it does, because it helps you organize all the different areas and really put, once you have to put it in writing, you have to really dissect everything and really analyze what you've done. And it's easier to not let something slip through the cracks.
Right. Okay, so let's get to your questions, so we don't miss them.
Okay. So you mentioned in the video behind you every day there will be only a max of 5 client folders, 1 COI, and 2 prospect folders. On a given day, you're going to have 8 appointments a day? Or is that maximum 8 appointments a day?
Yeah, you could have, maximum of 8. It would depend. This is very much driven by you. We introduced 7 different strategies for building your practice. We limit, the number of centers of influence to 6, because that makes it possible for you then to have 100 clients. If you have too many centers of influence, then you'll eat into other prospecting time. But let's say, for example, you decide that, my God, I have the magic touch when it comes to centers of influence. So I want to have 12 centers of influence that I meet every month. Well, God bless you. Good. Go for it. Okay? That's okay. You may not have time for something else, and that's okay too. So, for example, you guys, at your stage, you don't have time, I wouldn't think, to be on a board of directors, okay? You might be on your kid's something, but you're not going to have time to be on, you know, the United Way board or something like that. So that one we won't spend any time on unless you want to. But that's one where, that would suck up time out of the week. So you might be able to have more centers of influence because you're not doing the board of directors thing. So, you know, of the seven, you don't have to do them all. But they're all there for you if one, you know, you go, wow, I like that. I want to do that. That one's a really a good one.
So you're not meeting with a COI daily or two prospects.
So the number of COIs, the number of appointments that you have prospecting is going to be directly related to the number of prospects you have and the COIs you have. Okay? So if you have a lot, you might end up with 9 appointments a day. But, you know, we think 8 would be max. You really don't want to make yourself crazy. That's why people like having 70 clients. So that means 4 client meetings a day instead of 5. And then if your client, you know, somebody asked me, you asked me the question. What about, you know, your absolute minimum for prospects? Well, our problem isn't, here's the point. You guys, your biggest challenge is time. Okay? The truth is there's plenty of money out there, all right? So your prospects should not be your absolute minimum. They should be meet your target minimum. Mm-hmm. You want fewer prospects and bigger ones. Mm-hmm. Just think, close one person with $3 million compared to closing 4 with 750,000, you know, or whatever it is. So it's much more efficient to prospect bigger people. It takes longer, sometimes, but we want to really target who we're after. So instead of having 8 appointments a day, maybe you have 6. And you're like, yes, that's good. But they're better appointments because you got them from a really good center of influence. You know, you've got a new prospect, and the guy's got $5 million. It came from a center of influence who loves you, and the guy's already sold on you. How good is that, right? That's where we want to go.
Yeah, so the 90 prospects is a maximum.
That's the maximum, yeah. It just
and ideally, they're all, you know, the target minimum of 2.5 million.
Right. I would say that you probably shouldn't have more than 40 active prospects.
And if they're an absolute minimum client, I mean prospect, then they're not included in that 40 or that 90.
That's right.
Okay.
They don't qualify.
But since they meet the absolute minimum, does that mean we still bring them on board?
you're allowed to bring them on board, but it's not the direction you go. Meaning, you don't pursue those people unless they're kind of laid in your lap, and you say, okay, I'll take you.
Okay.
Okay.
It's kind of your fallback. Okay, all right, I'll make an exception and take you. But it isn't where you are headed. You're headed for three, you know, if your minimum's 2.5 million, you're really looking for people, you know, 3 to 5 million is probably your target. And, you know, you're able to get 2.5 million from them with, you know, another million to come later. I'm just telling you how that, you know, you need to think about it.
Yes. Now, the next question was the building of the new COI, which is the 5-step process.
Yeah.
I was noticing, like, number 4 and 5, I would assume that that's done throughout the other 3 steps.
Maybe well, it just depends, okay? Sometimes, I mean, if you have a good relationship and you can consolidate some of these steps, it's great. So let's just review what the first one is. The first one is an introduction, right? This is where you decide. Now, I'm not saying this is not with a. This is a person you just meet. This isn't a person you know and you already like them and they're already a center of influence. Okay.
Okay.
So this is a new, brand new one. You ask the question: can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And 5 people all said, this guy is great. You need to meet him. So you get an introduction to the CPA, and this is your first meeting with him or her.
Okay.
And you introduce yourself and your process, and you hear about them and their process. And you just, you know, I always tell people, when you meet a new prospect or a client or a center of influence or any other human being, the first half of the conversation is about why are we alike? The second half of the conversation is why am I different? Meaning, why am I different from every other financial advisor? And then why are they different from every other CPA? Because people buy differences. They don't buy similarities.
Okay.
But they like you because of your similarities. So you're trying to find in the first part things you have in common. You both have young kids. You both, you know, are this. You both do this. You both like these hobbies. You went to this school. You grew up in this area. You lived there. So you're trying to affiliate with the person and make them comfortable with you and not, you know, you're both of the same tribe. It's an issue all human beings have. They want to feel safe. And they feel safest when they're with a member of their own tribe. But then when they buy, they want to buy differences. Why are you different? All right, so that takes up pretty much the first meeting. The second meeting was you bring them back and introduce them to your team, and you explain again in more detail why you're different. And that confirms in his mind what you do, how you do it, what's your minimums, what kind of clients do you want, etc. And that you're really well organized and he's going to admire the heck out of it. Then you go and visit his office or her office, and you meet their partners, you meet their staff, and they find out, and you find out more about why are they different and what is their ideal client? Who do they want? And this is where you learn how you're going to be able to help them. So the whole time you're asking the question, how do you think we can help you? What can we do for you? What's your relationship been with other advisors? What was good? What was bad? So you're always trying to figure out what you should be doing for them that other people haven't. And then once you've met with each other's teams, now you go back for the one, two, three. This is the fourth meeting. This is where you teach them the enthusiastically endorse model. Now, at this point, you are going to have a great relationship or you're not. You're going to know at this point whether this is really going to work out or not. So you give him his folder. You teach him the enthusiastically endorsed model. He says, you know, it's all well and good that you give me introductions, but how am I going to get you introductions? And you say, well, here's what this is what we do. We ask each and every client, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And I said, once you get done with that, don't hesitate to ask everybody that question. By the way, my friends playing golf, can you guys enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And when they say, no, I hate mine, I'm looking for a new one, then you ask them very politely, would you be interested in an introduction to somebody that is enthusiastically endorsed in our community? And they introduce you. And you do the same for them. So there's an education process that goes on here, and nobody's willing to do this. If you do this, they'll be shocked. And then the fifth meeting is your first monthly meeting. And remember, at these meetings, the best thing you can do is bring an introduction. A person in person is great. You could literally have two introductions brought to the first meeting. He brings one and you bring one, and then you split off and meet with those people and profile them. Okay, so that's the best thing you can do is to help him by giving him money, which is an introduction to a client that's going to pay him. The second thing is, you know, any other introduction that you can give him, whether it be email or phone or anything, but I like in person. The next best thing is to connect him with somebody in the business, that, you know, in business that they may not be able to be a client but would be able to help him and solve problems, meaning a really good estate planning attorney or somebody else that he should know. And then the third best thing would be to bring information about what's happening that would affect his clients. Okay, so educate him. Can you skip some of these meetings? Sure. Would I? If I could, I would not skip them if I didn't have to.
Okay.
I have a question. So this five-step process is for professional COIs. How do we handle natural COIs in our monthly meetings and so forth?
If they are, let's say that they work for UPS, right? They're a manager for UPS. I'd do the same thing. I would meet them. Talk to them about the fact that they are a center of influence inside a nest of potential great clients. They're perfect for you. So you don't say that to them. What you say to him would be, I'm so excited to meet with you today. What I would like to do is work out a relationship where I was able to help you in anything I could possibly do. And you were able to help other people that you work with by being a center of influence, hopefully delighted client, and introduce us to those centers of influence, to other people in your community at UPS that would value what we do. And they say, sure, yeah, I'd love it. That's great. That's exactly what I wanted to do. So then you give them a folder, but I would also bring them back and meet your team if you hadn't done that. Most of the time they're already a client. They've already done that. They've already met your team.
Yeah.
But the next time you're there in the office, what I would do would be to introduce yourself via the five-star model. And just take 5 minutes. You know, each person takes 2 minutes to introduce themselves based on the five-star model. So you just go in the conference room and everybody gets a chance to say what they do and how they do and how you're organized and why that makes your team different.
Right.
So it would be just – it would maybe be the exact same thing you do for the CPA. Maybe for the CPA you do it a little bit more at length, maybe for an existing client in your natural niche. Then it's a shorter presentation. But I think people like the fact that you're going to take a little bit of time with them and do something formal. They would appreciate that. And it makes it easier for them to sell you. So you look under the tent, you know, you give them a view underneath the tent, how everything works. So you show them how the folders work and how you use the scheduler and how everything works. And they'd be like, wow, this is cool.
Right.
Okay?
That's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you always want to then keep your offices nice and clean and neat because you want people to come in and be able to look around and see where you work and what you do and see the pictures on the wall and all that stuff. It's interesting when you bring somebody in, watch their eyes. Watch them go and scan the place. What they're doing is they're, when you were a little kid, you used to bring somebody into your bedroom and you'd say, you know, can I see your room? And they'd go up and see your room. They'd look around. They'd see the posters on the wall. And they're getting to know you, you know. What are your hobbies? What do you like to do? What, you know. And that's exactly what they do when they come in your office. They scan around to see, okay, oh, this is your family and here's the kids and this is your hobby, and this is what you, okay. Now I know you better. I feel more intimate with you.
Okay, and then I think the last one, I don't know if they have any other questions.
I have one last question. The enthusiastically endorsed page that's inside of the client folder and our folder. So let's pretend we're meeting with a client, introducing Supernova for the first time. We, in addition to all the Supernova documents, we put our agenda, we put, ask to have a patient or portfolio recommendations in the back tab.
Yeah.
How do we, during that initial meeting, do we discuss the enthusiastically endorsed model, or do we wait to have that during one of the monthly calls?
That's kind of up to you. It depends on how much time you have. I would probably pre-fill it out as much as I could with the information that I had on the client. So if I knew who a CPA was, I'd fill that in and put the phone number there.
Okay.
And then it's sort of one of those things that you could put down on the agenda, discuss, you know, healthcare. Discuss, you know, your attorney. Discuss whatever box you want to fill in.
Right. Okay.
Okay. People think that's weird when I tell them, that you should know who their family physician is and if they have a specialty doctor. You should know your client. I mean, you should know if your client has a heart condition. And you should know his cardiologist. I mean, these are you want to be the advisor that gets called first if something happens. So you're not probably going to learn that in the first conversation with a new client, but over time, they're going to give you more and more and more information. And that's the beauty of Supernova, is that you'll get to a depth that you would with your brother or somebody.
Right.
And very few people have that kind of a relationship with anybody in their life. But they will with you. And that's very different. You're almost taking on the role of a life coach.
Then the other question I had is, since I'm the director of, what is it, implementation and planning, there's a couple of licenses or titles that I think I should get. One is an internal, which is a portfolio manager, which would actually help us, you know, Supernova our process much quicker. And then obviously the other one is the CFP. The portfolio manager would be a much quicker study. Probably get that done in about 2 months.
Yep.
And the CFP would take a little bit longer. What would your recommendation or your thoughts be on which one I should get first?
I like your idea. I think the portfolio manager is the easier one. Get that first. Especially since you've been up until 1 o'clock in the night every night. I don't want you to stay up any later. Okay?
Yeah.
What else?
I don't know, Roxana, do you have
No, I don't have any other questions. We just need to keep fine-tuning everything. I spoke with Levinson, my mentor from Merrill, today.
Yeah,
he called and he said, how's the situation with, you know, the first call that we had, the situation that we have, and I kind of went over everything, and he said, you need to move on and prospect. And so bottom line is that he says, I'm going to start thinking of names. And he wants to schedule a meeting with Rick and I and his concierge doctor.
Oh, good.
And then when we got off the phone, he said, good. You got me some work for me to do. I'm going to start thinking of names who we can bring in. So I'll be meeting with him more regularly, and, you know, he's definitely – on board to be a COI.
See, isn't that fun? How fun is that? You're giving him a purpose. He loved doing what he did for Merrill for all those years. He's back thinking, you know, once you're a hunter, you're always a hunter. I can't help it myself. I still get excited about the hunt for business. It's still silly. It's ridiculous. You know, I haven't been a financial advisor since 1979, but I still get excited for you and for my guys, you know, for anybody, and I want to help because I know what good work you do. So anytime I can help, I want to. So you engaging somebody like that. So think about anybody that's ever been in sales. As a center of influence, they're probably really good at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't think about that, but my brother was really a good salesman, my older brother, and he therefore was a fabulous center of influence for my my niece's husband, who was in the business. So that's a good target for you guys.
Yeah.
Anybody that was in the insurance sales or anybody that was in sales ever would probably really understand what the heck we're talking about.
Right.
And they'd enjoy it because they love the hunt. And they'd like, you know, it's the thrill of the close. You know, if somebody says yes, it's still thrilling, right?
Yeah.
They're willing to give us $3 million? That's amazing. So you always are like, wow, that's cool.
Are you sure?
Are you crazy?
I wasn't really expecting you to say yes.
No, we still feel like we're, you know, are we still worthy? Yes, of course you are. And you deserve it. No, that's good. That's good. So what about the lesson? Is there anything in the lesson that we haven't covered that you guys want to cover?
I'm going through my notes. Give me one second. Oh, we've covered the prospects. We've covered holders, scheduler. We have, you know, Anthony's doing great on that. The inverted pyramid, Anthony's handling all of our scheduling already. No, I mean, I don't have any questions.
Yeah, we just have to, that's one of the areas, this part where building your pipeline, the centers of influence, the prospects, all that, that's something that we haven't done in a long time because of the situation that we were in. So that's, you know, that's really starting at level one for us.
We're getting the rusty wheels rolling again.
But you know what? You guys are good at it. I can tell already. You're going to light it up this time. It's going to be so much easier than the first time you did it. You're going to be amazed. Your learning curve is going to be shortened dramatically, and your success is going to be much faster. So, and you're going to have fun with it. You're going to be kind of shocked at how well it goes, because it will go well. So, fully engaged. All right. Thanks for being such good students. You're terrific at this.
Thank you for your time.
It's a pleasure coaching you.
Thank you for your energy.
All right.
Keep your energy. Take care. That's good. All right.
Next week, I don't think we're. Is it next week where you're at?
Yeah, we skip next week, and then we. So you got another week to get your centers of influence all scheduled up.
That's good.
Okay.
That's really good.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.